This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. Today is April 2nd, 2015. Calhoun.
What's going on, D?
Chilling. Before we get started, I want you guys to go check out our Instagram, DigitalDarren, D-A-R-O-N, podcast. Our Twitter, DigitalDarrenPod. Our Facebook, just search DigitalDarren.com, and it should come up with DigitalDarren.com podcast show. Like us on that. We got a lot of good stuff coming out. Subscribe to us, listen to us. So before we get started, just want to throw this stuff out. Today I got Calhoun with me. And for those of you who don't know, the major happenings in Atlanta has been the APS cheating scandal. And the reason we're talking about it today is to start off is because we are products of APS. Pretty much everybody you hear on DigitalDarren.com is a product of APS or went to APS at some point in their life. So I say a good 85% of the people went APS at some point in their life. So we definitely can speak to the cheating scandal inside and out. And with that being said, I'm going to bring in Calhoun. What's up?
Nothing much. Like you said, I'm part of the 85%. I did homeschool. And I was homeschooled from middle school and high school. But elementary was APS. And I was on both sides of the spectrum. Because I went to a hood school in Tulsea Waters. It's not that no more, but that's where I went to, K through 4. And I went to Mars Brandon. It's white, sedity, you know.
Real quickly, get in a quick minute to tell people the difference between the schools.
It's an unbelievable difference. It is unreal. You see why. I didn't recognize when I was younger, but I can see firsthand why parents want their children to go to certain schools. To give you an example, at Tallwaters, I was one of the gifted, one of the smart kids. And I say it was like three of us in our class, because we went through K through 4, my homeboy Earl Greer. I remember him still. We was like top in the class every year. And we was good grades, that type of deal. I went to Mars Brandon, and I was in the slow class. That's how much information we had not been taught. That's how far behind I was. I was so far behind. It took the first semester getting acclimated with what I had learned that I should have learned the year or the year before. I remember the first day of school, the teacher was going over what we learned last year. She was like, okay, quick reminder, first day. I know y'all learned this. I know you did that. You did this. Who knows what this is? And so I raised my hand, was like, I don't know none of that. She's like, well, did you know this? I was like, no, I don't know that. So, well, have you studied this? I said, I don't even know what that is. So it took me the first semester or two to even get up to what they were doing the year before, which is sad, but it's true. Remember when we used to get our books in elementary school or school? Remember when we look in the first part of the book?
We have all the names in it and stuff like that. Yeah.
And when you look at that book, a lot of times if you have family, what's crazy about it is
you'll see your family in
there. You see your cousin, your big brother, and all that type of stuff being passed on. And you used to think that was cool.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, darn, Teray had it. Because Teray was like, I was in kindergarten when Teray probably was in fifth or sixth grade. Exactly. You know, in seventh grade or whatever. So, yeah.
The pissed part about that is you studying with the first edition and they on the sixth edition. And that's what's so sad about what they give us. A lot of books that they got, that they have, has already been torn, tattered. You used to get some books, the answers are in them. Some books, the pages missing. A lot of books that they have in those white affluent areas, those are the first time you get those books. When I was at Mars Brandon, that was the first time the book been cracked open. I had it. That wasn't a book I had that didn't have more than one name in the book. And I only had like maybe one book that had that. The rest of the books was new. And not just that. Recreation. Lunches. All that stuff, totally different. See here, When we was on the outside all the time, what they do, just give you a ball, y'all go outside and play. It's really who's the fastest and who can shoot. I learned handball, I learned lacrosse, you learned soccer. It's just an eye-opener experience. You did fondue stuff, you did tie-dyes. It's just the way your mind is shaped, created, and all that. It's just unbelievable the difference between there and when you're in the hood school. They limit, literally, you're limited as a child in an urban area. And it's because they don't give you the tools to be successful. And a lot of tools that you get comes from the teacher who's overworked and underpaid and who's threatened.
We're going to get to the, I promise we're going to get to the APS stuff or whatever, but I went to APS to like from kindergarten to graduation. I went to what you would consider hood school. I went to Cleveland Avenue, Crawford Lawn, South Atlanta.
That's all hood school. That's all urban.
How do I say this? So I don't have that compare and contrast experience you have, but I do know what you're talking about. And so at Cleveland Avenue, I was always relatively smart, so I always got to stay with the smart kids. But even in there, at any of the schools, it was a big difference between, from a book, a learning standpoint, what they teach you at that, as opposed to what they taught you further down the line or whatever. Because I'm sure they do this at all the schools. They group smart school students together, the medium students together, the below average students, and the dumb students together, with other students with lists. And so I learned a lot about where I was in APS by going to things outside of APS. My experience from APS was good because I met some good people. And I was always kind of head of the class. But I think I was a big fish in a small pond as opposed to being a big fish in a big pond. You know what I'm saying? But you mentioned the key word, urban. I think that they do. I think that they don't give us everything that we need to be successful. I ain't going to say successful. To be world changers. So I remember, a true story, I went to a function, some type of political function. And so an APS council person was there. And so the person was introduced me to them. And they said, I was a product of Atlanta Public Schools. So I was there with a friend and we both were products of Atlanta Public Schools. And so the person was like, oh, wow, what are you guys doing for a living? And so I said what I did for a living. And one of the guys said what they did for a living. And he's more like service industry or whatever. And she completely discounted what I did, even though what I did would sound much more interesting, like lawyer, doctor, rim. I'm in technology. So I said, I'm in technology. I do this, this, and this. He said, well, I own my own trucking company. I drive trucks or whatever. And so she took to that. And her response was, we need you to come back to our schools to show our kids that they can do stuff like that. She completely discounted what I was doing. Say, hey, more of our students will be average than great or whatever. Let's make our students know that they can be average. And not, I don't know if average is the correct term, but it's average. Do you get what I'm saying? Doesn't make sense.
They can be successful. The reason why she probably did that because of the dropout rate and the college rate. So how many kids in APS is going to college? How many young black men? Not many. But we can show you how you can at least get your why it would be successful, get a diploma, you can go do trucking school and you can make a good bit of money. You don't have to make minimum wage, you don't have to make $10 an hour, you can make good money and you can own your own business. So that's why she focused on that, because the likelihood of a kid in that area with those type of limitations going as far as you did, as far as education or getting a master's and things of that nature, that's slim. Slim to none, especially as men. Most of them go to jail before they go to college. And that's how that works. Going back to what you were saying, you're pigeonholed. That's what you are. You're in a pigeonhole. Because if you take away all the stuff of not getting, if you take away all of the materials and the wealth of knowledge and the surroundings, the place where you learn makes a difference. And we don't have those advantages. That's what it is. You can be successful, but you don't have the advantages of someone else that they have. So it's almost like if you're a basketball player. You're 5'10", but the person you're playing against is 6'10". There's an advantage. And here, when you talk about APS, and what's crazy is They're both APS schools, Morris Brandis and Todd Waters. But one is 7'1" and the other one is a midget. Not only do you not have the books, the lesson plan, the creativity, because all that come together. Like, on those days when it's not a whole bunch of book reading, even the projects that you have to do, you have to come up with some real problems. It was a kid in my class, we had a project, he made a solar oven. He made a solar dish that he cooked off of. And that was one of the projects. It was a science project and that's what he came up with. A lot of times we don't have those. Not only is the parent not able to get the materials, but the school doesn't even have that. So because they just assume that the parents in the area don't have the money, they just cut out a lot of the curriculum because the kid won't be able to get it anyway. Again, they go to the detriment of these kids. The whole mindset is different. How often were you in class or in school and there was a roast going on about what somebody had on? The kids are smart and witty because of how you have to come back. You always got to come back if you're wearing some generic shoes or if you got on some a t-shirt that's torn or dirty or tattered or whatever. So you're going to have to keep coming back on that. That's what you're doing. You focus so much on being fresh instead of focusing on schoolwork. You go over there to them cracker schools, them kids coming in with soccer shorts, knockoff dumb shoes. It doesn't matter. Because when you have money, you have to act like you got money. But two niggas in the project is busy arguing about who looks the freshest. While two white kids in mansions don't give a shit about what you got on, give a shit about their lessons because they are already in fifth grade, third grade, know what college they're going to. And that's the difference that we have.
I think that's a bigger problem. And I think that to bring it back to APS, I think that that's, you made a good point. They try to solve the problems based on the location they're in. So they don't give Toll Waters or Cleveland Avenue or Dobbs or Perkinson the same resources they give a Mars, Brandon, or Sutton or North Atlanta. Because the problems down here is, hey, can we just get this kid to read at their grade level? Add and subtract at their grade level. Do the basic stuff at their grade level. And hopefully, as they get older, it'll snap. And then they'll start to want to do things on their own, such as college, whatever, whatever. As opposed to here, this person knows where they're going. So it's like taking the smooth and easy route plus the bumpy route, right? Mm-hmm. So you take the smooth and you give them the smooth and easy route because that's what they count on. You get the kids. Well, let me rephrase that.
I was about to say, you can flip that because the kids in the inner city, like...
You give them, basically, you're right. You give them the hard, you give them the tough meat up at the nicer schools because they can handle it. You get the kids in the rougher areas, the smooth baby food that's easier to digest and process. So,
but the difference is if you gave everyone the same material, put us all on the same platform, if we all had the same chance, then that's different. But because you've already established, when you see the numbers that, hey, 70% of these students are going to go to jail or be involved in the system. 10% of them will be dead. Another 10 or so is going to drop out. And then this 2%, 3% is going to go to college. So we're not going to invest X amount of dollars in this, and it's a failed cause. What we can do is this other school is going to have a 75, 80% graduation rate. And now those kids, 80% of them to 90% are going to college. The other 30% is going to be miscellaneous. So they're investing in that. The problem is you pretty much condemned these kids in urban areas. That's what you've done because you didn't give them the same opportunities that these other kids have. A child is a child. It's an environment. But the schools don't look the same. The material, the education isn't the same. The teachers don't teach the same. We get it. The teachers that we have, you can remember your best teachers in APS, can't you?
Yeah.
You know what? It's not a whole lot of them. You have some, but it's a couple of them that really stood out to you. You go across the way there, some of all of them stand out.
Let me stop you though, because I think I was a unique case. I was a kid making 99s on ITVS or whatever.
Yeah, that's serious.
Yeah, I was like really smart. And just to bring it up, I made like 1,100 my ninth grade on the SAT or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I was always one of the kids who was academically gifted or whatever. My parents just believe in keeping talent where you live. Or else you would make somebody else look better. Anyway,
Oh, that's why they didn't move you. Because I went to Mars Brain on the Eminem program.
Yeah, so like my parents didn't believe in it.
Whatever. So, and then that goes to show you how smart I was here. And then when I went to on the Eminem program, I went to Mars Brandon, how far behind I was there.
I would have been the teacher. You think I couldn't remember none of my teachers. I should have been all my teachers' favorite, right? Because mine is personality stuff. Mm-hmm. Only three teachers took an interest in me.
Like, 13 years.
13 years. Like Darren. And it was one in every grade level. Every level. And I could tell who they were. And so my parents were involved up to a certain point. And so some teachers just took an interest because, hey, Darren's mom is going to ask, is he doing his work and stuff like that. But the three who took an interest just because I see something in this kid. You know what I'm saying? So if it's only three for somebody who was blowing expectations out the water, how much is it for somebody who was average too? You know what I'm saying? And so to bring this back to APS.
And why we was talking about it.
And why we was talking about it is because A, we're products of APS. But B, this scandal happened all over APS. But the focus of the people happened to schools that are in our area. Dobbs is maybe 3 miles from where I grew up. And probably less than that from where you grew up.
My nieces live there. It's walking distance from me. My nieces go to Dobbs. All three of them. They go to Dobbs.
And Dobbs is one of the schools. Basically a lot of schools in our area. And a lot of poor schools. And so how it goes is that APS in Georgia, you have CRCT. At certain grade levels, you have to pass the CRCT to go to the next grade level. And there were unusual gains by some of the schools or whatever. And so.
So we were talking about an APS scandal, and it's been a real focus. Scandal came in 2009. There was 178 teachers and principals that were fixing grades, that was giving kids answers and things of that nature. The problem that came down when the gavel came down, and it has finally come to the end, where they're giving out convictions, and where people have to atone for what they've done. Here's the problem: what's going on? They treated these teachers like animals. They treat them like dumb kingpins. They did it wrong. This is truly one of those, a mistake was made that needs to be corrected. Not one of those, we're going to throw the book, we're going to make an example of, we're going to fry you. That wasn't it, because during this, these individuals lost their livelihood. They lost their passion. They lost their job. They lost what they worked hard for, because in order to be a teacher, you have to go through the proper steps. You have to be college grads, you have to do this and other. These were people who made mistakes. And the reasons why they made the mistakes is because of the unfair restraints that was on them. Here you are as a teacher, you can't hardly focus on teaching your class. You're not teaching to empower these kids. You're not teaching to help them with something that they're not getting from home because you may have a broken home. You're not teaching them the things that they're going to use in life. You're teaching them to pass tests. And the reason you're teaching them to pass tests is because of the limitations that you have, and that if you don't pass these tests.
Well, can I stop you right there? So the tests tie into the teacher's salary. So pass the test, you get bonuses, right? Which ties into the principal's salary, which
ties into the superintendent, which ties into the state, which ties into the government because of how you get your federal grants.
Exactly. So it ties into everything.
It's a trickle-down effect. Exactly. So what happened is the person who is the people who are at the top, who's taking no responsibility, who does not have to do the day-to-day, who's not in the trenches, who's not the soldiers, they're just on high looking down, and we want this. Meanwhile, the people who are fighting daily for these children are the ones who they're cutting, because if you getting the bonus is a good deal. But if your class underperforms, your job is on the line.
Exactly. And so the same trivial effect for that, but this was proven so ineffective that Georgia just recently signed to where tests aren't tied to graduation.
Which just goes to show how ludicrous it was to ever have that stipulation.
Which brings back to the actual judge and jury case to show how ludicrous it is to suspend, to jail these people, and to charge them with racketeering. And I was telling you offline, I think they charged them with racketeering just because of the reason they couldn't think of anything to really charge them with. So I agree with you. Ultimately, the system is broke. That was a something wrong that happened. that needs to be fixed. It's a systematic problem that needs to be fixed. Everybody can agree on that, right? Sending those 12 teachers to jail doesn't fix the problem. 11, excuse me. That doesn't fix the problem. You can strip them of their livelihood without putting them in jail.
And even, to me...
You can take their teacher's license.
I would think that's too far. I mean, these people made a mistake. These people backs were against the wall, made a mistake. God, you're in a classroom that's designed for 20 kids, you have 32. Another 32, you have 15 that is being disruptive and destructive. You have 5 or 10 that has learning problems that also tie in with the mother 15. You have kids that have school supplies. You have kids that have learning disabilities. And in this, you may have 1 or 2 Darren Walters who really want to learn. And the reason why he's successful is because they have a parent at home who's working their ass off. So you gave these teachers something that the odds was already against them. The problem comes in that with those odds, what you can't do is give them those kind of restraints. So you're holding them up to this level. You're holding them up to the same level you're holding up the teacher across town. You're giving them that same, they have the same responsibilities. Yeah, they're supposed to teach. That teacher over there don't have to deal with none of the stuff these kids have to deal with. Or these teachers in the urban community. They don't. I remember when I was at the PTA, my parents were like, whoa. Because the budget for the PTA at Tug Waters, they probably asked for like $350 or something like that. I don't know, by the way, and this was in the 80s, so I don't know exactly. But let's say the figure was like $350 at Tug Waters. We just trying to raise $350 from all these kids. Just give $350. There was like $35,000. That's our goal. And they hit that goal before the first semester was out.
I'm in PTA. What I remember at PTA was, in elementary school, of course, you got kids who, kindergartners, of course, their parents say, yeah. By the time you get in third or fourth grade, PTA used to be, it may have been 30 families, now it's down to 3 families or whatever. Then, after elementary school, PTA is done.
Exactly, and that's it. Yeah, exactly. Nobody's showing up no more. You're not showing up to them. Not over here. Over there they are. Over there they are. Not over there. Not when you have a single mother who has to work. But over there when you have both parents at home, and if nothing else, the mom can be there who's a soccer mom. Yeah, they're going to be there. So it goes back to what we said about this APS scandal. It's disgusting. It's immoral. And even if you say, okay, so if they strip them of their teacher thing, I don't feel like it should be that. And I don't.
What do you feel the punishment should be?
They got. I feel like like 10 years probation, and in a way that will benefit the community. Because here's the thing, you're talking about a person who pretty much devoted themselves to helping out the community,
and doesn't get paid much for it.
And don't get paid much for it. So he's not no piece of shit, crooked ass, cock sucking cops, or no bullshit, dick ass lawyer. Or no DA who's supposed to be a public servant, but they really not. This none of that. These are like firefighters. That's what teachers are. Teachers are the ones when you're busy or when you're working. Most of the time, teachers are not only educators, they're babysitters, they're social workers. They're all these different things in one. And along with that, you're gonna heap on these type of expectations. You don't do that with this. Not with this. Not with them. Not with someone who gave their life to try to help better their community. And who just made a mistake and slipped up. There's a million programs you can have. Once you open a program where you get inmates, GEDs, and these teachers, help tutor them. Why don't you have struggling kids who have learning disabilities, their probation need, they help tutor these kids. That will spend extra time, weekend, or whatever, and tutor these children. Instead of picking up trash, because this is someone with talent, now you can have someone who tutor these kids. Have them at rec centers and help them with homework. There's a million ways to slice this up. The one way you don't do this is send them to jail. That's the most heinous thing you could do. That's downright disgusting. Now, you know how I would do it. How would you have punished them?
I would have suspended their teaching license maybe for a year. I think you made some great points. serve the community, blase this, blase that. But I think that jail is inappropriate. I think that probation, I even think taking their livelihood away is inappropriate. But you can't just say, hey, you get to teach, but just go do probation. You got to do something a little. I do think you got to do something. Even if you suspend them without pay for a semester.
Okay.
Maybe a year.
So would it have already been time, sir? Because a lot of these teachers have been out since 2009.
Yeah, it would have been time served. Like, I agree with you. Maybe 2 years at the most, but it definitely wouldn't have been no jail time. It wouldn't have been that they can't be educators anymore. Because again, they just need to be taught it's wrong to cheat. Paul Howard,
the fucking piece of shit. He's known for railroading blacks. That's what he's known for. That's what he run on. That's what he known everyone. That's what he known in the hood for. I didn't know who he was. You know how I knew who he was before this? At the barbershop. At the barbershop about 6-7 months ago. Someone was talking about him as a DA in their case. He was like, that piece of shit, Paul Howard. They were like, they was like Dwight Howard's uncle or whatever. I never heard of him. I never been to criminal court. So I never heard of him. I didn't know who he was. But his reputation precedes him. And these crackers keep electing him. Why not? He's doing exactly what they want. There is no rehabilitation or second chance. We have a nigga who's doing the whipping for his white government. A nigga DA sent him to jail, and the judge, the nigga DA offered for him to go to jail, and the judge sent him. That was two wrongs done there. But what you were saying about you would have there, I agree with you. You may be right. I didn't think jail time. I think they have to teach. I don't think you take that away from them. I think they made a mistake.
I think you take it away from them, but temporarily.
I agree with that.
I think you have to. Because, again, the point of this is, if it was system-wide, you have to show other teachers if you get caught, there will be consequences. And probation may not be a stiff enough consequence. Now, jail is too stiff.
I agree.
It's just like your kid talking in class and you throw him through a fucking window or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Punishment, maybe punishment for a week or whatever, or a couple of days. That's enough. You know what I'm saying? He learned his lesson. Not that bad anyway. He's doing something positive. You know what I'm saying? So,
with that same analogy, they didn't even get her talking to him. So they went straight to the beating. Like, they didn't get talked to. They didn't get their snacks taken away. They didn't get to go to bed early. They didn't get to go on punishment. They went straight to you getting a whooping for talking to class. It's wrong, but that's severe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on now. This is way too severe. Much too severe. I agree with you, though. Take away for a year or so. During that year, serious probation. They're going to have to do it. And even the other. Not just the teaching, but everything that comes with probation. And then part of your probation is this part of this teaching. And then, you know, now
you get your license reinstated if you...
By doing so many hours of this and that and all.
Yeah.
We come up with that on the fly here, Digital Darren. But some cunt on a bench in a road can't. Says a lot about our judges.
Says a lot about the system. Even APS, like, I know APS was so quick to distance themselves from that, but somebody should have argued that jail time shouldn't be a part of it.
The prosecutor. If you would have heard that, you should have been like, whoa, no. That's not what we want. We want to make a point, but that's not what we want. System failed, again, on the wrong side thing, and it's because of the COVID.
It's always because of the color, right? More than we want to admit.
Our school needs reform. The whole school system needs reform. More than that is our justice system. But when you put both of them together, a gross injustice is done. And you just seen that now. And I'll tell you a step further, what would have been, what's horrible to think, but I think would have been true. If one of those faces would have been white, it would have been a different outcome.
They all walked.
They may not have walked, but they would not have got this. They would not have got racketeering. This is an outrage. This is unbelievable. Nah, one white face, because you wasn't going to convict the other ones and let them walk. One white face, it would have been different. They took the ex-superintendent. She died. They sentenced her from the grave. I mean, it was just pathetic. And then if you've seen the video, the judge was like, I don't like to send people to jail, but they're going to jail. You do like to send people to jail if you're sending 11 teachers to jail. It was so much of an outrage. The lawyers was like, that's when you know it's just complete bullshit. When lawyers was like, wait a minute. This isn't logical. When the lawyers are doing that, you need to reevaluate. And he did. He didn't give no shit. And what's even worse, they took them people.
Handcuffed them right then and there.
Is that, like, really? For a bullshit
test? Like they got Tony Montana or something.
Like, we finally got, and this was the kingpin on the south side of Atlanta. They caught Nino Brown. We found all the bodies that was in the warehouse. We got your 20 keys, your kilos, and your 3,000 pounds of dope, and your needles. We found them. You motherfuckers went and locked up taxpaying educators. Good job. Way to go. You a piece of shit. And you deserve to get what you got coming. And I hope they get it.
Let's wrap this up. That actually seems like a good way to wrap this up. Any more thoughts you have on it?
Nah, anything else would be just ranting and cursing and nonsense. Because this really does bull. I mean, this is unbelievable. They didn't treat them like human. This is an inhumane way of being treated.
They're treating them like criminals. And they aren't criminals. I think that's the underlying point you're making.
They're really, and you're right, they're not.
And I think that, again, we looked up the definition of racketeering. It's such a broad definition that, of course, some pieces could fall into it, some pieces can't. But by and large, they weren't committing no organized crime.
No.
They weren't creating a scam. They were trying to help kids pass.
But that's why they could use it, because it was organized. This is what a group of them was doing to get kids to pass. So in the grand scheme of things, you can put it under racketeering, because that's the closest thing that it couldn't put under murder. They couldn't put it under...
It's no murder, no rape, no dope.
No violence. So they couldn't put it under none of that. What are they going to put under Section Code 101A? When a teacher does this, that hasn't been invented. So what they did was they went harsh instead of went light.
And a victimless crime.
Now, so I'm going to say it's not because the children suffer. But in all actuality, not really. A lot of these... a lot of these kids wasn't going to make it. And at least they made it with a diploma so you can get a job.
Well, you got to think, all these are elementary schools. So half these kids aren't even in high school yet.
It's sad. It's sickening. And I know, I hope they're appealing it goes high. But those educators should not be in jail right now. One. Two. There are so many different ways for them to be useful in our society to lock them away. This is not rehabilitation. The whole purpose of jail is to rehabilitate. So that's why some crimes shouldn't even go to jail. This isn't one of those crimes. What are they going to learn from being in jail? How are they going to help society from being in jail? The only thing they're going to do is help some cracker who got stocks in this, and they get paid daily for having X amount of people in jail. But who is getting help from them in jail? It's more of a detriment. Because I tell you the other side of this that no one's talking about, these 178 teachers, it crippled the school system. It crippled it. There are people that are in teaching positions that do not have the education, that does not have the experience, does not have the know-how, does not have any of that in teaching these children. And I know that firsthand because, once again, my nieces go to one of the schools that was hit hard by this scandal. And when they went to clean house, because they went and cleaned house, the principal, and they got a multitude of teachers out of there, Dobbs Elementary, when they cleaned house, what they put back in the house
was trash.
And it was thoughtless. They had no idea what they were doing. It was no forethought to what they're doing. Just like this stupid piece of shit judge. Where's Brian Nichols when you need him? Because that's what he fucking deserved. And everyone else, that fucking DA, all of them. You don't do that with these kind of people. They made a mistake. And in a country that's supposed to be full of second chances, it seems like if you're the wrong color, you don't get that chance.
If this happens over at Morris Brandon,
you don't hear about it. You see here, they said they started looking into urban. The GBI started investigating urban
Because of growth in urban areas.
Because of growth in urban areas. So
because black people are doing better.
So black people surely can't be this smart. Surely these kids not getting taught like this. Something must be wrong on the south side of town. These niggas coming up. Let's look at this in another light. Because if this would have happened in Dunwoody, Sandy Springs, if this would have happened in any of those, you know, Howell Monroe and Vine City, it would have been, oh, we're doing great. Finally got those scores up, I see. But since it happened in an area that's urban, a poor area, well, wait a minute. Because these are going to be the criminals of our society. These are going to be the ones who go to jail. It's going to be the backbone of our society to keep us on this fake war on drugs and all this stuff. Sure, these kids can't be excelling. So we'll go a step further. Now, we're really not going to excel when we take the teachers who were knowledgeable and put in a bunch of substitutes and a bunch of just people who don't know nothing about teaching. Because some people who went down, a lot of them were some real good educators. And they had years in on a job.
Thank you guys for listening. This has been DigitalDarren.com. Remember to catch us on iTunes and Stitcher. And make sure to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend.